You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
The rising cost of living in Aotearoa is pushing many families out of cities and bringing them to smaller rural communities and towns. The influx of new residents and housing developments in these areas is having a massive impact on the schools and teachers within those communities, reshaping the identity of the schools and the way they structure themselves. Otto spoke to Dr. Jennifer Tatterby, a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Education and Social Work at the University of Auckland, to discuss the impacts of urbanisation on rural schools.
So to start off, what kind of challenges are rural schools facing as a result of urbanisation?
Yeah, I've sort of placed them into two categories. So one would be the immediate practical thing. So when they're experiencing this rapid rural growth, that means they have more students, and therefore they're experiencing challenges associated with getting enough teachers for those students, getting new classrooms, lots of new buildings, and more resources. And I think along with that, some of the things we often forget about in terms of, well, where do we drop off the students and where do we pick them up? So many schools have actually had to create these spaces. They've also done a lot of work with like roading as well and speed limits and putting in all those things in place to keep those children safe. But I just want to emphasize it's property. When you talk to any rural principal who's going through this, they need property services support to help them navigate these challenges that are happening really, really quickly. And Otto, just to tell you, like when I'm saying rapid urbanization, these housing developments pre-COVID were giving out 16 to 20 week builds on homes. So that means in 4 months, you could be having up to 50 new students at your school.
The study also talks about, you know, sort of like the intrinsic characteristics of schools and how urbanization is impacting this, particularly the ethos of care in rural schools. So how have the changes to schools and their rural identities impacted the level of care that rural schools are able to provide for their students?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I did think about that. So on one level, I mean, you can't deny that there has been a shift to that, simply because rural schools have what they often will call the sort of rural ways of being. So it's really focused on knowing your students and their families very well. Same as in other schools, but I think the difference for rural ones is that they know like their extended family. They might be the fourth generation that have attended that school. So I think they've had to rethink their identity and how they do that and do it in creative ways, just based on number of students. It just gets harder when you get bigger. And I think, again, going back to that idea of identity, I've called it a semi-rural identity. Because I had to sort of grapple with the fact that we now have students who might live in these new urban homes. And on the other end of the spectrum, they still have some of the existing rural kids who live on, you know, large dairy farms. And so having to come to terms with what exactly that looks like when you have a new mix of students with, of course, diverse lived experiences and home experiences as well. I think the principals, though, they talked about managing those expectations of parents and students. And so one of them, I'll just quote, she just said to me, you spend a lot of time consulting with families and growing a belief in what you do and why you do it, and helping the community understand the why around the type of environment and the kind of approaches that you're providing. So that's sort of that idea of not only rethinking this, but also educating people on what it means to be rural and what it means to go to a rural school. But then, although I guess on the third level, the answer would be no. I mean, they all proudly maintain this identity that we are different. We are rural, you know, and that means a lot of different things, but, you know, outdoors, but also, again, that community collective, and really clung quite strongly to that.
I think the study also talks about the role that schools and teachers play within the communities itself and how the teachers have quite a significant involvement in their communities. Has this rapid urbanization and the development of new housing in rural areas impacted this?
I don't think it actually has reduced it. In my study, from what I can tell from speaking with the principals, the board of trustees, so like elected parents and teachers, and also the children themselves, the answer is no. In fact, it almost has increased that. Again, returning to the idea of how do you create and foster a new community with such divergent populations, they put in a lot of extra time and work into that. And the one thing I will always maintain is that in any community, the school is the community hub. It is at the heart of that community. So yeah, I mean, they've had to do it differently. A lot of the principals talked about a lot of these parents dropping their children at the local school and then driving long distances to commute into the city for work. So having some of those connections has had to make them rethink about how they do that. But I think they just readapted to what that is. And so they have that, again, that new way of being, but that has to maintain that original rural identity.
Has the Ministry of Education provided rural schools with the resources they need to deal with the influx of students and urbanization?
I would say all the 18 schools that were part of my study across 5 different regions would warmly welcome additional support from the ministry to help with this, particularly around property development. And I guess the one thing that I keep hearing from the principals is not only would they welcome this additional support, but they want the same property advisor. So one of my school principals in 5 years had 12 different advisors. And so you constantly have to tell the same story and have that person play catch up. So having longevity of people in those positions would be helpful. And also from a personal researcher perspective, I personally would welcome a conversation with our Minister of Education, Erica Sanford, and any of her team talking about what kind of research that I can assist with that would best support our rural schools, principals, and teachers and students.
Well, the study talks a lot about the impact of COVID-19 on rural schools and the ability of teachers to teach, basically. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I think it just exposed the already existing inequities that rural schools often face. And I think the biggest one is the internet. So everything went online. So let's teach online. This is a great way to do it. And for many, it was. But I think what was missing in there was acknowledgement or perhaps even understanding that for a lot of our rural families, they do not have access to internet. There's lots of people across New Zealand and rural communities who have no internet access. They don't have mobile phone access. So it was really challenging for them to, you know, learn. And for also for rural teachers who live rurally themselves to teach. So, I mean, how do you do that online when you're both trying to teach and also having perhaps some of your own children in that learning environment? The second thing that really came through was, again, more need for understanding of the rural context, because the ministry did a great job of providing resources like modems, for example, and digital devices, because not everybody had a device for each student or adequate numbers. But how did they get to these rural areas? It often came a little bit too late. So schools that I spoke with often put together their own learning packs and by themselves drove in their own utes or their cars or even on ATVs to hand deliver these packages to these rural families for whom had very little contact with the outside world because they didn't have internet or phone access. For many, the principal delivering something was the only other person that they had spoken to in several days.
As the pandemic headed into its endemic phase, as we could say, what was the return to the classroom like for rural students and teachers?
Yeah, I think like all schools across country is a bit of a interesting foray back in. I think, again, due to the different level of access to learning during that time for our rural schools, I think it was just acknowledging that there was such a variety of different experiences of learning at that time. So some of my principals just literally said to their parents, you do the best you can. If you don't get to learn today, that's fine. You just look after yourselves personally as well as health-wise, and then we'll come back and start afresh. So I think it was a bit challenging. I know that some of my principals in the Christchurch area also talked about how there was higher levels of anxiety and fear and uncertainty because, of course, the earthquakes, you know, brought up some of the trauma or past trauma from there as well. So I think they did struggle a little bit, but I would say that's probably across the board, across New Zealand in many schools. I think it was just exacerbated by the such varied access to learning.
So finally, while we've talked quite a bit about the pressures faced by schools caused by urbanization, are there some aspects of urbanization and urban sprawl that have positively impacted rural schools?
Absolutely. So I think the children spoke very positively about being excited to be the new stewards of a new building or a new classroom. You know, they got to name these new buildings or rooms. I think the principals talked about, for many, the first time that they had enough people to form a board and have board elections, like that was really new and exciting. So more people, you can draw on different parental professional experiences, as well as just their own talents. They talked about having more hands on deck, if you will, to help with working bees, you know, to help out, you know, at the end of the year to refresh a building. And I think the children, again, really talked about how exciting it was to get new students in, you know, to form new relationships with people. We also saw an increased diversity in terms of cultural diversity of the new students as well. So bringing that into school, they were very excited to meet people from different cultures and to learn with them. and also from them. And I think lastly, a lot of the boards talked about how they finally had a bit more support to put together projects that they'd be wanting for several years. So with those numbers, they were able to get new buildings, work on road safety, and other improvements around the school. So by all means, there are challenges and opportunities, just like any other situation.
And that was Dr. Jennifer Tatabir from the University of Auckland talking to us about the impact of urbanisation on rural schools.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.